So today's Mishnah in Masechet Nega'im, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is the new Perek Vav, but only if we have the help of our Kapitan. All right, so getting now to the beautiful way, this is absolutely stunning, the way in which we understand the interrelationship of the Shiurim. We have two Shiurim that are given to us throughout in the dinim of the Nega of the Baharat. So one of them is the fact that we have a Gris, and the other one is that we have an Adasha. Now the Shir of the Adasha applies to the Michyat Basar Chai, and this needs to be the minimum Shir, which is 2 by 2 Sa'arot, and the Gris is 6 by 6 Sa'arot. So that's 36 Sa'arot. But the question is, where does all of that come from? And the other issue is, if you have a Baharat, and the Baharat has a Michyat Basar Chai in the Baharat, does the Michyat Basar Chai reduce the area of the Baharat? So we already saw before that it doesn't. But that's only where we have a minimum on either side, remember, of the Michya, that the Michya has to be surrounded by Baharat. If it has less than the space of a Adasha on either side of it, then it's not considered to be surrounded by the Baharat. In effect, the Teras Kayanim utilizes the fact that the Torah has put together a Baharat that has Michyat Basar Chai V'Sa'arot Hafach Lavan, puts it together. We're derish from the Pasuk that it doesn't need both Michyat Basar Chai and Se'ar Lavan. And therefore, we ask in the Teras Kayanim, so why does it say that you need both? And brilliantly, the Pasuk, the Teras Kayanim, learns out from there that the description of the Baharat is an area that would give us Se'ar Lavan next to a Michyat Basar Chai next to Se'ar Lavan, because we know that it has to be in the Baharat, surrounded by it. That gives us 6 Sa'arot, because we have Se'ar Lavan, which is now compared to Michyat Basar Chai, which is another Se'ar Lavan, which is a minimum of 2 Sa'arot that are Hafach Lavan, V'Se'ar B'Nega Hafach Lavan, and then we have another 2. So then that means that the width on all sides would be 2, 2, 2, which gives us 6 by 6, which is the shear of the Baharat, which is the actual Gris that we're talking about. It's not just a regular Gris. It's a Gris of Kilki, which Barnea perhaps can finally help a little bit by telling us where Kilki is, somewhere or other in Turkey.
Between Syria and Turkey.
Thank you.
Just off the sea. Yeah.
Okay. So that is a especially large Gris, but meanwhile, it teaches us all kinds of beautiful dinim, guys. Just beautiful. Because then what that means is that if you don't have that relationship, so the moment that the Michya eats up more than that area, then it already doesn't leave a Baharat, because it needs to have 2 Sa'arot on either side of it. So if you've got a minimum Baharat, which is 6 by 6 Sa'arot, in the middle of that Baharat, there's a Michyat Basar Chai, which is 2 by 2. If that Michyat Basar Chai is any larger, you don't have a Baharat, you see? So therefore, we now understand this, that Gufa Shel Baharat, the entire size of a minimum of a Baharat, is the size of a Gris HaKilki, but it has to be square. In other words, not that it has to literally be shaped square, but it has to be able to contain a square of 6 by 6. So even if it's got, let's say, 5 Sa'arot in one direction and 20 million Sa'arot in the other direction, it's too small, because it doesn't have a square of 6 by 6. So that's the point. It needs to be Miruba, which again does not literally mean Miruba, but it needs to be able to contain within it a square Gris Akilkin. I mean, a square actual Darsha. So the Makom HaGris, the area of the Gris itself, is the equivalent of the size of 9 Adashim, which means that the 4 by 4 is multiplied by 9 to equal 36. The Makom HaAdasha itself is only 2 by 2, which is 4 Sa'arot. And then we've got 9 times that, Nimtzu Shloshim V'Sheis Sa'arot. And I explained to you how we know that. One piece, which is the 2 Sa'arot on the side. Next piece, 2 Sa'arot of the Michya. Next piece, 2 Sa'arot on the side. That is 1, 2, 3. Now move up. Same relationship. The one piece in the middle now has to have 2 Sa'arot above it. That has 2 Sa'arot on the side. That has 2 Sa'arot on the side. Gives us 6. Now move down. 2 Sa'arot in the middle, which is Keneged HaMichya. 2 Sa'arot on one side. 2 Sa'arot on the other side, which is Keneged the Sa'ar Lavan that was in the middle. 3 layers of 2 by 2s. Exactly what we said. That gives us a total of 36 Sa'arot. And the reason that we put it this funny way is because this is going to be very nogea, the halachas of the distribution of the space that we are about to engage in the Mishnayos to come. So let's take a look now in Perek Vav, Mishnah Beit. So we have over here a nega that has a michya in it. We start off with the correct shear. We have a gris. That's the size, the minimum size. And then we have also the michyas basar chai of the minimum size and the maximum size as well, if we only have a gris, which is the size of the kadash. So let's talk about that classic case. Baheret kagris, uba michya kaadasha. What happens if the Baheret area starts spreading out? If the Baheret spreads outwards, then, of course, that is a pisyon. Okay, nitmata. So then it's tame. But what if the Baheret starts spreading inwards? So how about if it shrinks, first of all? And it shrinks from the outside part. Now it's too small. So then it's not the size of a gris, and therefore it's tahor. Now let's take a look at the michya. Suppose the michya does the same thing. The michya spreads, the whole thing becomes tahor. Because by spreading the michya, it now loses the shear of the baharet. Because you need to have the minimum shear of the baharet on all sides. If the michya, basar chai, gets larger, you no longer have shtei sarot, which is the shear of the adasha, you never have on each side. So the moment that the michya spreads, surprisingly, the nega becomes tahor, because we don't have the shear of the nega. Now, how about if the nitma'ata, how about if it became less? It's also tahor, because now you don't have a shear of the minimum of an adasha to be the shear of the simen tuma of the michya. So therefore, any type of change other than an actual pisyon of the baharet itself outwards is going to be considered to be tahor instead of a spreading that makes it tummy. Now, where this gets fascinating is where the baharet starts spreading inside. Aha! When the baharet spreads inside, is that, despite the fact that it now made the michya smaller, it's considered to be a pisyon because it made the baharet larger? Can a baharet spread inwardly into a michya, or must a baharet spread outwardly into a new area? This is the next exciting episode of Perek Vav, Mishnah Gimel. And if you can contain yourselves till tomorrow, please do. And if not, you're welcome to peek ahead.